The ad hoc ANCSA at 40 committee recently hosted its third panel on the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. This one features some of the women behind the claims movement. The four panelists represented the people in meetings in Alaska and in Washington, D.C. during the struggle for ANCSA. They've served in a number of other leadership roles in the legislature, as staff to a U.S. senator, as a school board, tribal council, and borough assembly members, and on the boards of Alaska Native regional nonprofit and for-profit organizations. KMBA's Jacqueline Estes has more.
In Nupiaq, Brenda Itta Lee says she grew up in Barrow on the North Slope in the days when there was no electricity, no television, no telephone, and no cars. Itta Lee says the news in 1968 that oil had been discovered at Prudhoe Bay was overwhelming.
We did not know the oil industry. It seemed that the state government and the federal government, as well as the oil industry, it seemed that they had very little regard for us, and yet we had lived there, you know, for thousands and thousands of years, and many of our people were gripped with fear.
In Nupiaq, Frances Ann Degnan of Unalakleet on the coast of central western Alaska says before ANCSA, Alaska Natives experienced poverty and isolation and relied heavily on subsistence, a concept they had to share with congressional members from very different backgrounds.
Each one of us being there, everyone brought to the table their experiences in their culture, in their way of life, in us being there and able to articulate it, but we had the same story, the very same story. We all come from Native claimed areas that belong to tribes.
Athabascan Agnes Brown was born and raised in Tyonik on the Upper Cook Inlet in south central Alaska. She says the land claims movement was a struggle, but they persevered.
We took up collections for plane fares. I was a young mother during those early days, and I would go and pick up people at the airport even if I had never met them before. Got them to where they had to go, and sometimes even took them to my house for lunch. And that's the way we did it. But no, I don't think that there was necessarily any sense of, this is too much work and we're going to give up.
After ANCSA was signed into law, these women moved into positions of leadership within the village and regional for-profit corporations ANCSA created. Tlingit Marlene Johnson of Huna served on the board of the Southeast Alaska Native Regional Corporation, Sea Alaska. She says she stepped aside after 25 years so young people could move into leadership positions.
We've got several young attorneys, we've got doctors. I mean, we've got some educated young people on that board now, and I'm so proud of what I see, that they don't need me, you know. I need them now, and so I just really tickled, and I hope that the young people that are here realize that we, us old folks, are going to be relying on you to keep the corporations going, because we are land-based. It isn't the money. It's the land.
Degnan says upcoming leaders are responsible for maintaining the corporate land base for future generations.
You do not keep your land as an absentee landlord. You don't keep your land by using it as collateral. You have that land base is your wealth. It's a charge. The ancestors kept that charge. We kept that charge to the best we can, and here we are, we're still whole. You have that charge. Keep it whole.
The ANCSA at 40 committee plans to host another panel in April. In Anchorage, I'm Jacqueline Estes.